Today's Shi'ur Masechta Bavasra, Daf Kuf Samach Beis, and we will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Kuf Samach Aleph Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. The Gemara continues to discuss various halachas about shtaris, about documents, how they should be written, and what will disqualify a shtar. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kol HaMachakim Kulam, any erasures that are in the shtar. So in our previous shiur, we discussed that the shtar, certainly a get, has to have the words Hakol Shor V'Kayim. And we learned that if there's an erasure where that should be written, that would certainly disqualify the shtar. Where we begin our shiur today is, what about a different place that there was something erased on a shtar? So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kol HaMachken Kulam, if there was something erased on a shtar, the halach is tzarech sheyichtov, you have to write, in order for the shtar to be acceptable, you have to write at the end of the shtar, Dein V'Kayomim, that you have to identify at the end of the shtar all the places that there was something erased, and write that we are aware of these erasures, but the shtar is still a good shtar. What's going to be the halacha if there's something erased on the shtar and we don't have this statement at the end of the shtar? The Ran and the Nemukhi Yosef, quoting the Ramban and the Ross, say that shtar becomes completely disqualified, because there is a real possibility that where that piece was erased was something that was so critical to this transaction, and we'll never know because it was erased. The Rashba holds that the fact that there's something erased on the shtar does not completely disqualify the shtar. What we have to do is that we have to ignore what the erasure represents. But if we are able to do so, the rest of the shtar will be a good shtar. The Yad Rama says, we have to try to analyze what possibly could have been written in that place. And says the Yad Rama, he says, if in that place where we have something erased, we could have fit in something which is critical, and now we have to evaluate, we have to disqualify the shtar. For example, he says, if the erasure took place at the place where we would have the date. So a date, of course, is a critical element to any shtar. And if that's where we have something erased, we have to question the kashrus of the shtar. But if it's not something like that, and even that we see that what was erased is not that critical, so then we could be more lenient. Now, Rabbi Yochanan teaches us another very important halacha about Hilchos Shtaris, and that is b'tzarech sheyachzer minyanei shel shtar. The main points of the shtar have to be reviewed, have to be repeated b'shita achrona, on the last line. And the main point is that sometimes, as we're going to learn, that there may be space left between the end of the shtar and the Edom's signature. And the most common example that the Rishonim give is that, let's say, somebody has two Edom signed on the shtar. And because he has two Edom signed on the shtar, so the one person says, I want to show respect to the other Ed, and even though I'm signing first, I want to give him the opportunity to sign on top of my name. And therefore, there's going to be space left over. And also, as we're going to learn, there's always a concern that there may be one line left over, because you can't expect the Edom to sign directly under the shtar. So therefore, the way to avoid any of these concerns is that you just use the last line of the shtar to be a review of the entire shtar. And that's it. The Rashbam says that this is the reason that when we write a shtar, the last words we write in a shtar, we write the kaninim and they koma the kosov and first leil, that there was a proper kinyan on whatever took place here. And says the Rashbam that if that's the way after those words, those are the proper final words of a shtar. And after you have those final words of the shtar, then the halacha is that that shows us that this is the end of the transaction. The Sma says that is that really a way to be fulfilling the requirement that the Gemara just said you have to review? The Kanina Mene, is that a review? And he says that yes, because the Kanina Mene says that we had here this entire transaction, and the Kanina Mene says that this is that everything that we're doing is just that has happened and is halachically valid. And explains the Gemara my time, why is this? Amarav, Amram, Lefisha Ein Lamed Meshita Achrona. We don't learn anything, as we explained, from the last line of the shtar, because we don't expect that the Edom should be able to sign directly under the shtar. And as I saw the Rishonim point out, if that will be the requirement that the Edom have to sign directly under the shtar, it's going to become difficult to find Edom to sign your shtar. And therefore, they allow for one line. But as we also explained, there may be sometimes that are two lines left over because one aide is wanting to let the other aide sign first. And in order to avoid all of these problems, that's the way we avoid them is by having the last line there just as a review that there's nothing that was tampered with on this line. So Taisus brings up a very important question. We're concerned that in this line, the person might have used it to tamper to the shtar to his benefit. So the common example we would use is a malva, where somebody lent money to someone else. He's the malva. He's the one that holds on to the shtar. And he might have tampered with this line to write something that's to his favor. What's going to be a halacha if that line actually has something to his detriment? So there's no concern that he tampered it, because why? If somebody wanted to tamper with a shtar, why would he do it to his detriment? And therefore, says Tosfos and other Rishonim, that even though this would be something that's on the last line of the shtar would still be considered a kosher shtar. The Marshal says that he believes that the Rashbam doesn't agree, and that the Rashbam will hold that once the halacha is that you have to, that this is what the last line is there for, and you can't learn anything from that line, the halacha is, it doesn't make a difference what the line says. Now, what is going to be the halacha if somebody did not fulfill this halacha? That means we are learning that you have to use the last line for review. What would be if that wasn't done? Some Rishonim are of the opinion that the shtar is disqualified. That seems to be Tosfos' opinion. Because Chazal made a rule that that's what has to be, that the last line has to serve as a review of the entire shtar. And since the last line has to serve as a review of the entire shtar, so is the halacha under all circumstances. Many Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rashban, the Ran, and then the Mukhi Yosef are of the opinion that even though the Gemara is telling us this halacha, it doesn't mean that if you didn't do this, the shtar becomes disqualified. The Gemara is giving us good advice, but it's not something that's absolutely required. So now I saw the Achronim debate, according to the opinion of the Rishonim that we just quoted, that if you didn't review in the last line what it says in the shtar, what the shtar is still fine, what would be the halacha if we have two things in working against the last shtar? The last line is not left empty, and it also was not that there was leftover lines, and also there is no review. In this case, some Achronim say that that's really too much of a disqualification, but there are others that say, again, if we have no specific reason to say that the something that is that to say, feel that the shtar is disqualified, we won't learn. We won't disqualify any. We won't disqualify the shtar. The Shach also says that when we're learning in our Gemara that Ein Lamed the Meshita Achrona, we don't learn anything from the last line. That's only if the last line represents something new that we wouldn't have been able to know if we didn't have this line. But if all the last line of the shtar is doing is just explaining what was stated earlier in the shtar, but it's not really adding anything new, then that won't be a disqualification. That won't be a disqualification of the shtar. And Dor Sameach, the Shach says this halach in the name of the Agoyis Maimonis, and the Or Sameach brings a raya to this Agoyis Maimonis. He says, we learned earlier in our Masechta extensively where somebody gives a gift to his son and he says, Mayoim Ulachem Isa. And the Gemara explained on Daf Kuf Lamed Vav that the way to understand what was meant with that was that the Guf Mehayoim, he's giving his son the actual property from today. Upeiris Lachem Isa, the peiris, the fruit, the rent, come afterwards. But the Gemara continued to say that if in the shtar it says akne the kanine mine, then everything is valid from today. So we see that here the last line of the shtar is really adding something new. He's adding the words akne the kanine mine that gives the son much stronger position. But it's really just explaining what it said earlier. It says Dar Sameach, if it's only there to explain what it says earlier, then it's not a problem. The discussion that we're having here also is we learned in our previous shir that a shtar has to have at the end of the shtar the words Hakol Shor V'Kayim. So the question that needs to be discussed is what is the halacha once you have the Hakol Shor V'Kayim? So if the Hakol Shor V'Kayim appears at the end of the shtar, even at the last line, how do we look at it? So some Rishonim say that not all shtaris have to have Hakol Shor V'Kayim. Hakol Shor V'Kayim is only required, as we learned in the previous shir, by a get. There, it's necessary for the various reasons we learned in our shir to write Hakol Shor V'Kayim. But if another shtar doesn't have Hakol Shor V'Kayim, it doesn't become disqualified. But then there are Rishonim that suggest that even though we're learning Hakol Shor V'Kayim should be there, a shtar should have Hakol Shor V'Kayim, and we're learning also that the last line of a shtar should not have anything essential, it should just be there for review. Hakol Shor V'Kayim could be put into the shtar, but of course the halacha is that after the words Hakol Shor V'Kayim, anything that's written into the shtar after the words Hakol Shor V'Kayim will not be considered something that we have to pay attention to unless there's proof that it is indeed part of the shtar. Says the Gemara, we just have been learning that we don't learn from the last line of a shtar. Says the Gemara, Omlei Rav Nachman Rav Amram V'Nalacha, from where do you know this halacha? Omlei the Tanya, we learned in a Braisa Hirchik as Edim, Shnei Shittim and Aksav. If you have the Edim distance two lines from the shtar is possible. So, and even if the Edim will tell us that there was no tampering in the shtar is disqualified because it wasn't made the way Chazal told us the shtar should be made. Shita achas, but if there's only one line distant, the loch is kosher. There's a big machlokes Rishonim when the Gemara says that when we just learned the Braisa that if you distance the signatures two lines from the end of the shtar is disqualified. What does that mean that it's disqualified? Some Rishonim explain that we know that, as we often discuss in our shiurim, that through a shtar you could collect from the Chosam Mishabadim, from a shtar that has this spacing from the last line until the signature, you can't collect from Mishabadim. But you could use the shtar that the Malva could use the shtar to collect from the Loiva himself. However, there are some Rishonim that take a much stricter approach, and they say that the Gemara says that the shtar is possible. And when the Gemara says that the shtar is possible, that the shtar is possible under all circumstances. And I saw that the Meiri explains why. Why should we be so quick to disqualify the shtar? So he explains that this halacha is a halacha that every age should know, that there shouldn't be this distance between the shtar and the signature, that the last line should not represent anything new. If Adam signed on a shtar and signed it so improperly, that calls into question the entire quality and qualification of those Adam. And since it calls into question the quality of those Adam, we can't rely on the shtar. So the Gemara drills down. Why is the halacha that you have to, if there's a distance, if there's a spacing of two lines, it's possible? Because we have to be concerned. Dilma Zayif HaKosef. Maybe till the Malvo, whoever, will tamper and write something into that space. So ask the Gemara, if that's your concern, Shita Achas Nam of Zayif HaKosef. We ought to have the same concern even if there's one line. El Lav Shmamino. The halacha is Eila Meidim Shita Achrona. We don't learn anything from the last line. And therefore, even if the last line will have something new in it, we won't care what it says. But if somebody left two lines, and there the halacha is that if he leaves two lines, so he'll leave one line empty, or he'll leave one line to review what it says, and the previous line will be a line that he'll add something in that changes materially what it says in the shtar. And therefore, under those circumstances, we disqualify the shtar. The Gemara says, therefore, the right thing to do is that the last line of the shtar should just be there to say, Tzarech Shiyachs Minyonash L'Shtar, or as we said earlier, that it has to be there to say, Hakol Shor V'Kayim. And those are the two ways that the shtar will become disqualified. In the absence of that, the shtar will still be considered. In the absence of that, the shtar will still be considered a kosher shtar. The Sefer Ikrim says that we actually have a precedent for this in the Torah. At the end of Parshas Hazinu, as Moshe Rabbeinu is finishing off Torah Shebiksav, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Simel avavkum l'chol ha'advarim, asher anochi me'ed b'chem hayoyim, ki lo yidov reku mikem, ki hi chayechem, u'bedova azeh tarichu yom al adoma, says the Sefer Ikrim. Just like we're learning when you have a shtar, that the last line of the shtar is supposed to be there, lach se'minyonu shel shtar, to be there to review everything that says in the shtar. Here too, when Moshe Rabbeinu was finishing writing the Sefer Torah, he wanted to teach us that what are the consequences of following what it says in the Torah. He says that a person who follows what it says in the Torah will have schar ruchni, he'll have a life of good ruchnius, so his neshama will be properly nurtured. And that is represented with the words, ki chayechem. It represents our neshama, which sustains us and gives us life. And that we will have brocha of gashmi. And that's why it says, ubedav azeh, through following the words of the Torah, tarichu yom maldoma will be zoicha tarichas yomim. And then he goes on to say, what the ruchni, he says, don't think that doing what it says in the Torah is something insignificant. Our entire life, not just in this world,
but in the death, in the next world, is kloy davareku. It's not something that's insignificant. And the only way we could accomplish that is with following the words of the Torah. And not only will you have this wonderful life, this wonderful ruchniyistik life, you'll also have a gashmiyistik life. So now that we've established that at the end of the shtar we have to have two empty lines, so now ask the Gemara, what would be the halacha if you have a line and a half? What is the halacha then? And the simplest way of learning a line and a half is that you have one empty line, and then another half a line, and then you have the signatures of the Edom right at the end of that half a line. Tosfos attempts to say that maybe means a half a line, the last line of the shtar is only written half, and then there's another whole line empty. Toshma, so the Gemara wants to bring a raya from the words of the Braisa. Hirchikas Edom Shnei Shitim, if there's a distance of two lines, then the shtar is posel. It seems to be teaching us that it was a shito machtza kosher. Eima seifa. So, says the Gemara, let's continue learning that braisa. The braisa said, shita achas kosher. There's only one line left open, it's kosher. Clearly indicating, a shito machtza, if there's a line and a half left empty, posel. Says the Gemara, so the wording of this braisa is can't prove one way or the other way. And many times we said the pshat that the Tana who wrote this braisa himself wasn't really certain what is the halacha. Because he himself was really not certain what is the halacha, he wrote the braisa specifically in a way that it's not conclusive one way or the other. So that nobody should say that this braisa is proving it one way or the other. It was specifically written in a way that doesn't show us any clarity, and by not showing us the clarity, we know we can't use this braisa. My havala. But now ask the Gemara, so what is the halacha lemaisa? What is the halacha if there's a line and a half? Toshma, the Gemara brings a braisa, the Tanya Hirchik, Heidim Shnei, Shittim, and Iksa, Posel. Pachs Mekan, even if it's a line and a half, then it's kosher. Because if there's going to be less than two lines, say the Rishonim, it's going to be able to be discernible that the shtar was tampered. So this Gemara is used to discuss an interesting question. We know that on Shabbos, we have to have Lecha Mishnah, two whole challahs. And the Chasam Sofer and others want to bring a raya, want to ask, what happens if you don't have two whole challahs? You have a challah and a half. What is the halacha? So the Chasam Sofer and Rabbi Yosef Engel use our Gemara. The our Gemara is teaching us that when it says two lines, it means two lines. And when you need two, anything less than two is not what you needed. So if you needed two, one and a half does not equal two. There are other poskim that disagree, because there's a Gemara in Masechta Brachos that speaks about how many mishmeres there are in the night. And the Gemara over there says at the beginning of the Masechta that two mishmeres, a mishmer and a half is the equivalent of two mishmeres. So the Machna Chaim says, isn't that a raya that one and a half is the equivalent to two? So we should say the same over here, that when you have one and a half chalas, of course it's only in a situation with the Eved where you don't have the ability to have two chalas, it should be good enough. But the Chasam Sofer and Rabbi Yosef Engel say that that's really not a good raya. And the reason it's not a good raya, they explain, is because when we speak about something of substance, when you have to have something tangible, so when you have to have something of substance or something tangible, and the halacha requires two, so you need to have two, one and a half is not two. There, when the Gemara Masechta Brachos is speaking about Mishmeiris, we're speaking about the different times in the night, etc. That doesn't represent, he explains, something tangible. It's something ruchnius thing. For ruchnius, 1.5 perhaps can equal 2. But when you need something gashmius, when you need something tangible, 1.5 does not equal 2. The Braisa continues, where we have a situation where the Edom are signed on the shtar, and they're signed more than 2 lines away from the body of the shtar. So as we've been learning throughout our shir, that would disqualify the shtar. And if that would disqualify the shtar, how do we make it kosher? So what you do is, you bring other Edom, and they sign in this empty space. And says the Gemara, you have 4 or 5 Edom signed in the shtar. And one of these Edom, apostle, says the halacha, you could, if there are 2 kosher Edom, it's fine. So of course, Tosfos asked the question. We've quoted in our shiurim the Gemara in Masechet Makkos, where Amar Rabbi Akiva, that if you have 3 Edom, Nimtza Echemem Kar Apostle, the halacha is Edom Shabbat Mektasa Bat Lakula. So why over here, if you have Edom that are disqualified, why, because they're krivim or whatever, why isn't their disqualification cause a total disqualification of the shtar? So Tosfos answers that when is there a halacha of Edom Shabbat Mektasa Bat Lakula? Is when Edom come into Besdin to say testimony. And the Edom walk into Besdin to say testimony. And as we learned, that when Mitzvah Shem going to learn in Masechet Sanhedrin, the Edom are questioned, and one of them becomes disqualified. So their halach is, Edus Shabbatla Mektasa, once the Edom are disqualified, Edus Shabbatla Mektasa Batla Kula, then it becomes completely disqualified. But in a situation where it's not that way, in a situation where they're not complete, completely disqualified, so then the halacha is very, very different. Then, because Edom Chasum al Shtar Nas Kamish Nekra Adusum Bezdin, and what that means is that the entire Edus, that the Edus is finished. So when I need to question Edom, and some of them become disqualified, that disqualifies the entire Edus. But in a situation where they don't become completely disqualified, where they already finished whatever they're going to have to say, the fact that some are disqualified doesn't present an issue regarding all the other Edom. Furthermore, says the Rashbam, that we're going to have Edom that are disqualified sign the shtar in order to keep the shtar a kosher shtar, because we shouldn't have this empty space. The halacha is that the Edom who are the kosher Edom, who we rely on, should be the Edom that are signed on the bottom of the shtar. Says the Gemara Masayla L'Chizkiya, the halacha that we just learned supports what Chizkiya said. Dama Chizkiya, Mala Melua Krivim, if you use the shtar and you sign people are relatives, the shtar is kosher. Valta tama. So we have here, the Gemara comments, a very interesting phenomena. We're going to have, if we have empty space, the shtar will be posel. If we're going to have shtar with krivim, the halacha is that it's going to be kosher. Where do we find such a precedent? Says the Ma'arir Sukkah Paisa B'Shloisha, Schach Pasel Paisa B'Arba. The halacha is that the minimum size of a sukkah is 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. If you have a space in the sukkah that is 3 tefachim open, the halacha is that the sukkah is pasel. But if you have in the sukkah a place that has schach that's pasel, it's only pasel if you have 4 tefachim of pasul schach. Why is there such a difference? Because something that is pasul is not as significant as something that is empty. And therefore, here too, if you have an empty space, the
empty two lines, the sukkah becomes, if you have empty two lines, the shtar becomes pasul. If you have but you have people who signed the shtar that are krivim, the halach is that the shtar will still be kosher even though they're krivim. The Kotzker used to tell his chassidim, what I don't ask of you not to do averis. What I ask of you is not to have time to do averis. Occupy yourself day and night with constructive activities, learning, davening, working. If you occupy yourself with constructive activities, then you won't do averis. And he used to quote our Gemara as the proof. When you have avir, when you have empty space, then the halach is that the sukkah is pasul. When you have pasul schach, then the sukkah doesn't become so pasul so quickly. What we can do to make our lives meaningful is fill up our lives with constructive activities.